Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to spend the next 4 weeks, Mirtz Hashem, hopefully getting ready for Rosh Hashanah. The work that we will be studying is known as the Alei Shores, written by a great Jew, passed away about 6 years ago, Rabbi Shlomo Volda. He lived at the end of his years in Eretz Yisrael. He was known as the Mashkiach. He was a spiritual advisor to many, many, many students, and he wrote two works. I actually wrote more than that, actually, but one of the ones that we're studying is this volume over here. And we'll be taking a look at his... He wrote several chapters on this time of year that we're in right now. And we'll be looking at different parts of them as we go along, as far as preparing ourselves, I hope, for what this month leads to, and then what we can do, some practical things to get ready for Rosh Hashanah. I'm not one for long introductions, so let's get right into it. So from the top, I'm going to read a little bit. Everything will be translated, so if you're not familiar with the Hebrew, it is, again, not to worry. This is a passage from the actual Machzor, that this day is the beginning of your works, a remembrance to the very first day. The phrase that we use here in the Machzor to refer to the idea that Rosh Hashanah is the day that the world was created, the day that is the beginning of it all. Says Rav Volbe, Rosh Hashanah hu yom briyas ha'adam. So the first thing that takes place, that Chazal, our sages, tell us that takes place in Rosh Hashanah, was the creation of man. V'zuhi skulos yom, and this is a treasure of the day. The fact that man was created on this day means that as we, even thousands of years later, go through this day, that which is available to us on this day is yochol lehishavos briya chadash. You can become a new person. Every day in the Jewish calendar, as our holy books tell us, has certain abilities, powers, strengths in them. What can you tap into when it comes to Rosh Hashanah? You can recreate yourself on Rosh Hashanah. This is the day that man was created, and it gives us therefore that same ability to tap into that as well. Now, together with that, says Rav Volbe, V'yoyim shenivra ha'adam, on the day that man was created, nischadsho malchuso yisparacha l'olam, was the creation of the kingdom of Hashem, of God, in the world as well. Because you can't have a kingdom of the divine without mankind to recognize it. So two things come together in Rosh Hashanah. Man is created, and therefore our ability to recreate ourselves. And with man comes the Malchus Shemayim, comes the kingdom of heaven. And therefore Rosh Hashanah, not only can we create ourselves, but we can therefore also recreate and establish the Malchus of Hashem, the kingdom of Hashem. Therefore, says Rav Volbe, "Havi'oimer shnei inyanim yeshnam Rosh Hashanah hadorshim hachana meruba." Both of these things require great preparation. You can't walk into a day and think, "I'm going to be a new man today," and think that that just happens on its own without any preparation. I'm going to change my life. I'm going to change who I am. It doesn't work that way. We all know that. Any of us who've ever tried on Rosh Hashanah to walk in, and the first thoughts that you have along those lines are on Rosh Hashanah, doesn't really take us very far. So it requires a preparation to prepare oneself. Together with the personal preparation comes the idea of Hischadshus Malchus Shemayim. On this day, we're going to recognize Hashem as the King, which also takes preparation. You can't just think, I'm going to crown the Creator as a king, because every day he's a king. And if we're not living it today that way, it's not going to magically appear without work in advance. So the two things, says Rav Volbe, that required a month's preparation, the month of Elul, preparing ourselves personally, and then within our personal preparation, recognizing that that personal preparation is to lead to the ability that I, the new me, standing in Rosh Hashanah, will declare Hashem to be my king. There is a third thing, which we're not going to touch on tonight. There's a third thing, and that's the concept of tshuva, of repentance, of going back over the year, recognizing the things that we've done wrong. So that three things actually converge over this period, specifically starting with Rosh Hashanah and leading up to Yom Kippur. The individual new me, my ability to recognize and crown Hashem as king, and then in the mix, you have this idea of tshuva in general. All three of these need preparation. All three need to be dealt with. We're going to address really the first just tonight. Concept of how do I prepare that when I walk into Rosh Hashanah, that I sense, I can feel, I can tap into the ability that I can do things differently on this day. What do I need to do to prepare for that? Let's start with that tonight. Rav Volbe, in the first paragraph of your quotes, an oft-quoted Gemara about Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara says on Rosh Hashanah, Kol boy ha'olam ovrim lefanav kivnei marim. The entire world passes before God. We'll loosely translate it now as a flock of sheep. And the Gemara asks, what exactly does it mean that everybody passes before God? The Gemara presents three explanations, which I'll mention briefly, but we're not going to discuss the differences between them. The Gemara says either it means what I mentioned already, which is the most basic preparation, like a shepherd who's counting his flock, and the way that he's able to pay attention to see, well, how many does he have, is he passes them through a narrow passageway one at a time, and in the same way as a flock passes through one at a time to be counted, so too do we pass before God, so to speak, one at a time to be reckoned with on the day of judgment. Or the Gemara says it's like a narrow passageway, people trekking up a mountain, and they get to a place where it's so narrow that only one person can go at a time. And so even though you travel together as a group, but when you get to that pass, it's one at a time. There's only space for one to go. Or the Gemara says a third option as to what it means is the soldiers of David HaMelech, as they are each one appointed for their particular task, each soldier is given his mission, his job, as every soldier in an army has their specific mission. Either that's what it's like, that we're all passed before God, so to speak, like the soldiers of Beis David. It says, Rav Shlomo Volbe, however you want to look at it, one thing comes out clear. The din, when it comes to judgment, on Rosh Hashanah, Omed Ha'adam Lifnei Boro Legamri Levad. We stand before our Creator entirely alone. You might be standing in a shul, you might be standing in a very large shul. At the moment of judgment, what the sages are painting a picture, whether or not it's as a flock of sheep passing one at a time through the passageway, or a mountain pass where only one person can walk, or a soldier who's been given his mission, the moment of judgment is alone. Ein lo to ein va'ed. You have no advocate. You have no testimony in your favor. Hu ha'dayin, hu ha'ed, hu baldin. God Himself, it's just Him. He's going to be your witness. He's going to be your advocate. He's going to be your prosecutor. He's going to be your judge. You have nobody to blame. Amy Vaha Ashim Bekishlonu, no one to claim my mistakes are because of this person or that person. When you stand before God, it's as if there is no other creation in the entire world, and you are responsible for yourself. That's the picture the sages paint as we prepare. Now, that's quite a court case. No fancy team of lawyers, no advocates. You're going to stand before the judge, and it's just you alone. Now, what do we do with that? That's a frightening thought. How does that help me get ready for Rosh Hashanah? So he has a very insightful way of addressing this. Says Rav Volbe, imagine to yourself, from the third paragraph, if you want to just follow me sort of inside, V'nitoy latzmeinu, person comes to court, and they ask him, Nu, Rav Shlomo, why did you do this? Why did you do that? Why did you do it? And he says, Stam, I did it, whatever, I don't know, whatever. In Hebrew, they say, stop. I guess in English, the equivalent would be, whatever.
Whatever?
Yeah, whatever. Then they no, really. They say, like, why did you do that? Here's an action. They're going to put it up on the screen in front of you. You're sitting in a court. You're going to do whatever it was that you did. And they're going to ask you, why did you do that? I don't know. Shrug your shoulders. I don't know, everybody else was doing it. That's it? That's what you have to say? Everybody else is doing it? Whatever? They say, no, really. What were you thinking? I want to know what you were thinking when you did it. He says, nothing. He says to a person, he says, I wasn't thinking anything. They say, what about the mitzvahs that you did? You put on tzitzis. You wore tefillin. You ate kosher. You kept Shabbat. What were you thinking when you did all those things? Nothing. I've been wearing tzitzis since I was a little boy. I go to shul every morning, I put on my tefillin. I wasn't thinking anything. I eat this food because that's what's in the house. I don't know, my wife buys kosher food, so I eat kosher food. I don't know. Stam? Yeah, stam. Stam, whatever. Eich stam odom zayamu. How does such a person stand in judgment? There's nobody else in the room, it's just you. Who are you? What, can you explain? Do you have any thoughts? What's going on in your life that you're doing this? says Rav Olmos, you'll say to me, who says you have to? I don't know, the Torah says do mitzvahs. I did them. I did what I needed to do. Maybe it's enough that I did what I needed to do. Maybe I don't have any good answers for your questions. I can't explain what I was thinking. Do I have to? So if you're following me inside, the photocopying is a little upside down. I didn't figure out how to manipulate the papers that when it gets folded and stapled like this, it comes out normal. But so the Gemara says, mankind was created yichidi, alone, as an individual. The first man, Adam HaRishon, was created, just him, a single man. The Mishnah says, why? Why was man created that way? So the Mishnah gives a couple of reasons. Number one, the Mishnah says, to teach us that if anyone destroys a single life of a Jew, one Jewish life is as if he destroyed the whole world. And if you save the life of a single Jew, it's as if you saved the entire world. And to tell you the greatness, says the Mishnah, furthermore, that Hashem is unlike humankind. A humankind, if you have a mold or a mint that you make a coin out of, so every single coin that you make will look exactly the same. But Hashem took a single individual, and from that one individual made billions. And none of them are the same. All different. They all look different. The Gemara says, not only do they look different, but they think differently. The Gemara says, in the same way that their faces are different one from another, kach deoseihem, their thought processes are different one from another. We all have a different way of thinking. You ever wonder why somebody's like, I don't understand what they were thinking. Right? There's a reason for that. You don't understand what they were thinking because they think differently than you. You think this way, they think that way. That's how we were created. And the Mishnah concludes, but the fact that we were created as an individual, lefika chayiv adam lomar, a person is absolutely obligated to say, bishvili nivra ha'olam, the world was created for me. For me. It's kedai for the entire, every single individual is obligated to say to himself, the world, it was worth it for God to create the world just for me. For my struggles, for my difficulties, for my successes, my victories, my ability to accomplish in this world what I need to accomplish. It was worth it for the entire world to be created simply for me. There is nobody else like me. There is nobody else who can accomplish what I can accomplish. Not from the time of Adam HaRishon until now has there ever been anyone like me. What's that? That's frightening. That's an amazing thought. The Mishnah says we're obligated to say that. Obligated. Chayav on to say, not since the beginning of time has there ever been another person like me who can accomplish what I can accomplish. Never. There never has been, and there never will be. He says, so such a person, you're going to get up to, you're going to be judged, and they're going to say to you, what were you thinking? What were you doing? What was your plan? And you're going to say, I don't know. Whatever. Created this whole world for you to be able to accomplish, to do what you need to do. Nobody else can do what you need to do in this world. Stop. You're just whatever. That doesn't work. So how do we address that, says Volga? How do we shift from being just a whatever Jew to being a yachid, to being an individual, to being somebody with inner strength and something who can answer the call of judgment and to say, this is what I was thinking, this is what I'm trying to think of, this is the goal, this is the path that I'm on. It expresses certainly through Limud HaTorah, through learning. A person has to be always involved in his life in learning, in Musar, in growth. He has a suggestion, which asides for those which, specifically in Elul, certainly everybody should have an opportunity to find for themselves extra time to learn both Musar and a regular learning in Gemara or Mishnayos, Chumash. There's one suggestion which he says, which we're actually going to do tonight. And that is the concept of bididus, of being alone. Being alone with oneself and one's thoughts. Now, I'm not even going to go into exactly how he describes it because we don't need to, because in today's day and age, there has never been a time like this. We live in a day and age where alone is a concept that doesn't exist, because we all have cell phones, and those lucky amongst us have smartphones or a Kindle or something. And you'll see, if you just look around, people sitting by themselves thinking. We don't like that. The moment there's like a lull, let's quickly whip out some gadget and be involved in it, be engaged in it. So it's a widespread affliction that our entire generation is struck with, that we are being bombarded with stimulation to the point where we don't know what to do with ourselves without it. Quickly checking an email, sending a text, surfing the net. You can do anything with your phone today. And they program it such that you can be busy with it for more. So if we're not busy enough in life, which we are, our lives are insane for the most part in terms of trying to eke out a living and raise a family and just be busy with everything else. And if you have extra time, you should be learning or working with the community. We'll find you for something. And we ourselves, to be alone with our own thoughts, today's day and age is quite a task. Quite a task. During Elul, he would say to do it all the time. But during Elul, there should be a time set aside where a person has a little notebook. I actually brought some paper. We're going to do this in a moment. And they spend 5 minutes writing just about their day. Starting from the moment you woke up, how did I wake up today? When did I want to wake up? And when did I actually wake up? How many times did I hit snooze? Did I even attempt to get up when I wanted to? How was my wake up? How was my davening? Did I daven? Did I put on tefillin today? What happened during the course of my day? Was I successful? Was I right? Good things, bad things. I spoke nicely to this person. I lost my patience with that person. I had an opportunity to this. I didn't. To journal one's day makes one aware of one's day. You'd be amazed if you did it for a week and you'd look back at the end of the week, like how many things actually happened to us that are lost. Significant things. Conversations that were meaningful. And we don't have the mechanism to integrate it, to take it into account, because life is moving so fast. We don't pay attention to our own personal growth, whether or not I'm getting up the same way that I did for the last 5 years, I haven't budged. I do the same thing. I say to myself, I'm going to get up at this time, and I end up getting it exactly 7 minutes later than I wanted to every single morning. I come to shul exactly 30 seconds after davening starts. Every single morning for 7, 10 years, the exact same routine, and every single night I go to bed saying it's going to be different the next morning. And nothing has changed in any of that. Are we going to come to Yom Kippur with the exact same list that we did last year? The exact same list. The exact same al-chaits that didn't speak to us last year don't speak to us this year. And the same series of al-chaits that spoke to us last year, they're still speaking to us this year, and there's been no movement. When you journal, we just become aware of the way that we speak. We become aware of our own thoughts. We become aware of our behaviors. And when you become aware, then things start to change. Because when you actually have to write down, you know, I woke up the same way that I did, exactly 7 minutes late, I got to shul exactly 30 seconds after davening started again, there's a chance that the next morning will be better. And the more things, and no one else should ever read it. Not a spouse, not anybody. I certainly don't want to read it. You could write tonight and throw it out. The concept of I'm going to spend 5 minutes by myself actually thinking about myself is something which sounds sort of obvious that should be done. A human being who wants to be a growing person should, 5 minutes is a joke. That's not nearly enough. But even to do that, whoever does that? Who has a chance? And if you're not writing to say that I'm going to do it, doesn't happen. We all know that. I need a piece of paper in front of me. And I need a task. This is what I'm going to do. So to not be a stam, whatever Jew on the Yom HaDin, to be able to say, I could tell you what I was doing, I could tell you what I was thinking, I could tell you what I was working towards, I could tell you what my goals were, where I'm falling short, where I'm succeeding, how it's moving, how it's adjusting. Step one is being able to be alone. Because if you're going to be judged alone, we need to be able to be alone. And to be able to be alone and be aware of ourselves is a step. He doesn't actually talk about writing, he just talks about thinking. I'm saying, I don't know, I couldn't handle that. If I was told to sit by myself and think about it, I wouldn't work. I need to write. If you're able to do so, I welcome it.
Is this what the Hasidim call his buddhidus?
Yes, exactly. They would, but it's without writing. It's just going out and thinking. Being alone. Now, they were dealing with it in a world that didn't have smartphones. And they felt they needed to be alone. In today's day and age, we're so surrounded by stimulation. You see it in the kids today. They don't know what to do with themselves because they're so overstimulated. What to do with themselves when they're by themselves for a few minutes? They get bored before they even know what it means to be bored. They're not even bored yet, and they're bored because they just don't know what to do for 30 seconds. So that's going to be step one. Before we do that, I want to add a second point that he discusses, which is a critical point for preparation for Rosh Hashanah. It begins, if you want to follow it inside, on the next page.
Which page?
That's a little bit tricky here.
What page number is it? At the top.
Yeah, I wanted to read it. Sorry. Tuf Yud Zayin. The page that looks like this. In as much as we were just talking about being a yachid, being an individual, being aware of oneself and being able to stand in judgment alone, the Jewish people are a dichotomy of two concepts, and that's only one of them. The other is that in as much as we stand alone in judgment, in as much as we need to say, are obligated to say, the world was created for me, we are part of a klal. We are not alone. We are part of the Jewish people. And the Jewish people is a conglomerate, a lot of things. And we are an individual. And the Jew, us individuals, need to recognize that as we are alone, and as we are individuals, and as the whole world was worth it to be created just for us, we are not the end all. We are part of something larger. And that's significant in the following way. Rav Olber brings the example of a tree. He can bring many different types of examples. He says a tree is comprised of its roots, deep into the ground, bringing its nourishment, its bark, trunk, and then its leaves that come off the top. Every Jew is a leaf. Every leaf has its own mission, has its own goal in the world of the Jewish people. But if you're plucked from the tree, then you have no life. You must be connected to the tree, and in so doing, then you can develop your individual purpose and goal. But you have to be part. As soon as you separate from that tree, you'll wither and die, in a spiritual sense. And to prepare for the Yom HaDin, Rav Yisrael Salanter writes, I'm just going to flip around, the one piece of advice, he writes, that he can give for a Jew to prepare for din, lihios ish, I'm in letter gimel on Tuf Yud Tes, lihios ish shirabim tzrichim lo, become a person that the community needs. You want to know, it's the beginning of Elul, I got two tasks for myself right now. I need to find myself, get in touch with myself, become aware of myself. And how do I prepare for the day of judgment when I'm going to stand all by myself alone? Become somebody that the community needs. Now, everyone has a different way of doing that. It doesn't mean you all are going to take my job and then the community doesn't need me. There are lots of other ways to do so. And a rabbin doesn't mean the entire community. It could be there's another family that needs me. There's another individual that needs me. But I'm part of a tree. And I have my role. And Rav Yisrael Salanter says, you want to know what to do in Elul to get ready for your day in court when you'll stand all alone, that when the judge looks at you, he sees you and he sees somebody that the community also needs. He has a role, he's part of something bigger. Because when you literally stand alone, then you're just a leaf that's been cut from its source. And a leaf that's been cut from its source has no life. That's why when we daven, you'll notice all of our prayers are b'lashon rabbim. They're all plural. They're on behalf of everybody. We don't daven for ourselves alone. We daven for everybody. And Rabbi Yisrael has a line that when, if a person were to daven for himself, he says, afilu al tzimis echad, one little carrot that you ate, you're not worth even that. You think you're so, and the same way, this is what Judaism law, the same way, b'shvili nivrahol, for me the world was created. But on your own merits, on our own, it says it's possible, you don't have the merit that you should deserve the carrot that you ate for supper. But if you become somebody that the tzibur needs, that the rabbim, the community, relies upon, depends on, fills a need, a role for the community, so then, l'ma'an cho elokim chayim, I live my life for you. Remember me for life, grant me life, not for my sake, but for your sake, to bring glory to you, and for the klal as a whole, the people that that I serve. And in order for a person to recognize that, this is really what it takes. This is what we would call Jewish achrayus, responsibility. That a Jew balances these two concepts. That I myself am great, I myself am worth the entire world being created for, I have what to offer the world, and no one else can offer what I offer. No one else can be part of the family that I'm a part of, no one else can raise that family, no one else can do the job that I'm doing, no one else can contribute what I'm contributing to the world. Nobody. And therefore I have to do it. So who else is going to? And the whole world was worth it just for me. And at the same time that he's filled with the drive to accomplish because the world was created for you, he sees himself not as an egotistical maniac that the world is there for him and he's the center of everything. He sees himself as attached to a klal, to a people. And it's a fascinating dichotomy that we have, those two. And when you stand before the Creator on the Yom HaDin, on the Day of Judgment, it's those two together that stand for the Jew. That he says, I'm not a stop person. I'm aware of myself and my mission. I've been working towards that. I have it. I recognize it. And I recognize that I'm part of a call. I don't stand alone. The world doesn't revolve around me. I'm part of something larger. And I'm doing my part that I have that tzchus. I have the merit and din in judgment because there are others out there who can say that I'm needed. Not for myself. I'm needed for them. That's how a Jew stands on Rosh Hashanah, with those two things together. What I want to do with those two concepts as we get ready for Rosh Hashanah, with those two ideas of being able to recognize ourselves and find out. So I have paper here. I'm actually going to do this. I've learned from past years what I've done in the past. Every once in a while, we would run a chabur like this, and I would make my suggestion. I send everybody home, and nobody would do it. So I'm going to speak 5 minutes less than I was going to. And right now, right here and now, if you have your own notebooks, go right ahead. Otherwise, this is the task of Rosh Hashanah, to spend the 5 minutes. Throw this out when you're done. Crinkle it up, throw it out, or keep it and make yourself a little notebook, and every day, jot something down. I would actually buy a notebook.
Or publish it.
Or you can publish it, if you'd like. It's literally doing nothing more than chronicling, going back, and then again, you weren't thinking about this over the course of your day, so it actually requires a thought, like, gosh, what happened today? How did I get to, from the moment I woke up, to here? What did I accomplish? What was right? What was not so good? What can I do better tomorrow? The more we are aware of what happened in the course of the day, from today, from this morning, until now, you do this tomorrow, you'll see it'll be a different day. That much I'm willing to guarantee, for whatever that's worth, that if you do this 2-3 days, you'll find your days will be different, because you'll be aware as you're going through it, oh, the moment of reckoning is going to come tonight. So I'm going to have to sit down and acknowledge to myself, no one else is going to read it, but acknowledge how things went. And I leave you with that. So as you write, now just not necessarily for tonight, but certainly for the future, I recommend doing this for the rest of Elul, to have in mind the two ideas. A, myself, how did I do? And specifically looking for roles, and what did I do that was of benefit to someone else? That I can say to my Creator, I had a role that the community benefited. That doesn't mean, again, it doesn't have to be I did something that the whole community benefited. It could be a single individual who benefited from the fact that I was here today. I lived my life today, and there's someone else who benefited from that. I could point it and say, I made a difference to someone else, not just for myself. How did I impact someone else positively today? A month of doing that, a month of being aware of my own existence, and in what ways am I making this community a better place, the world a better place for others, is entering into Rosh Hashanah in a completely different state of mind than just waking up and saying, oh my goodness, it's Rosh Hashanah tonight.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.